Our scripture is taken from the second chapter of Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the top of the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up swords against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Today, Veterans Day, we commemorate or pause to pay honor to our war dead. This is an anniversary where when one's emotions are in conflict, there is a natural desire to do homage to those who died in the great wars. This is more than patriotic sentimentality. It is a spontaneous expression of reverence for the heroic effort manifested on the battlefields. And yet, with every year that passes, there is a rising tide of conviction that the wars which furnished the arenas for their sacrifices ought never to have happened. It seems increasingly a monstrous thing, wasteful, cruel, and futile for young men to give their lives upon battlefields. There are many people today who agree that war must be outlawed. On Veterans Day, therefore, our motives are strangely mixed. We do not want to break faith with those who died. Yet at the same moment, we find ourselves condemning the very thing for which they died. How to reconcile our revulsion with our gratitude is a real problem for those who would be sincere. It must be remembered that the wars were filled with positive as well as negative consequences. The men who fought on either side believed they were doing right. Of course, they were spirited by motives of national partisanship and embittered by propaganda. Nevertheless, they acted in accord with the light they had. Their sense of devotion was as marked on one side of no man's land as on the other. They were alike in their love of home and country, their devotion to duty, their courage to surrender everything, and their faith in God. Here then was a spiritual experience that rose above the smoke of battle. Although the world was divided into hostile camps, yet what those camps had in common was greater than their differences. Certain inferences are clear. Courage and devotion are eternal qualities which we instinctively revere. Sacrifice is elemental and is recognized to be so even when its immediate objective is wrong. Wars made men see that they were all brothers, even though they were fighting each other. In a TV drama not many weeks ago, this point was brought out very well. During a battle in World War I, the French had a lookout, a priest, stationed in the place of one of the saints in a cathedral. The German army sent up a patrol made up of a young officer and his men. The young man had been brought up to believe in God and to pray and to be sincere in his faith. He went to the saint and knelt down, and in prayer with bowed head, he confessed to the saint that he was confused because he could not understand how the God about whom his mother had taught him, and the God that the Frenchman worshiped, was able to hear both sides and still answer their prayers that one would wipe out the other. However partisan men thought God to be, they were destined to discover that he is above all the gods of battle. Thus, without any inconsistency, we may assert our conviction that war must be no more, and at the same time do homage to our heroes. For we honor not the arena in which they fought, but the spirit in which they manifested. Their arena was too circumscribed, their loyalties too transient. We seek a better arena, universal proportion, world brotherhood, a cause so august that we must join forces with him whose eternal concern is peace and goodwill among men.